Well, good morning, Prestonwood Online family. It's so good to see you. On behalf of our pastor, Dr. Jack Graham, I want to welcome you into our worship service here this morning. And hey, we've been praying all week that God would do something special in his house this morning. We're so grateful that you would join us in worship. We have worship guest leaders coming to lead us in worship this morning, Shane and Shane. I know that my family has been personally ministered to by them, and we're so excited to have them lead us in worship. Our pastor, Dr. Graham, is back in the pulpit this week with a powerful word coming from Joshua about whether you will choose life or death. The world is full of many, many choices. We like to put everything on a spectrum. But here today, we're going to bring the clarity of the gospel, whether you choose life or choose death. Now, this week is a really important week here at our church. It's Easter week, the Holy Week. And so we hope that you will plan and make plans to join us on Friday for our Good Friday service, as well as our Sunday services on Easter Sunday. We celebrate, we worship, we sing, we praise, we read, and we pray because Jesus is alive. Now, as we stand and sing, let's bring our best worship to him this morning.
Hey, good morning, Prestonwood. Welcome to church. How are you doing this morning? It is good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? We have been praying. We at Prestonwood have been praying for today, for Good Friday, for Easter, as we start our Holy Week. We hope you're praying, too. We hope you're thinking about who you're going to be bringing for Good Friday and for next Sunday. But until then, today, we're going to worship God. God is in this place. He's with us right now. Psalm 46 says that the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So it is good to be in his presence. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Would you stand with us as we worship today? And we are so honored and excited to be led in worship by our friends in ministry. Would you welcome Shane and Shane?
the wind and waves makes my heart be still. Though the earth gives way, the mountains move into the sea, the nations rage. I know my God is in control. He's in control. The oceans roar, you are the Lord of all. The one who calms the wind and waves makes my heart be still. Though the earth gives way, the mountains move into the sea, the nations rage. I know my God.
Storm. We're just right in the middle of the storm. And we're about to sing a lyric that says, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't get it. I don't see it. I don't understand it. I don't like it. I don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done for me on the cross. And not only that, because of your precious word, I know how this deal ends. I know how the story ends. And y'all, can I just tell you, I'm gonna read just a snippet of how the book ends. But can I just tell you, if you've received the free gift of God for you in Jesus Christ for your sin, let me just say it again. If you've just received the free gift of God for you in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came to die for your sin, then you are a son of God or a daughter of God. You are in the family of God. And if you are in the family of God, your future is real bright. It's super bright. I'm not talking about your circumstance tomorrow, next week. That's gonna be really tough. But I'm talking about your forever future. It looks really good. And he's gonna get you through. And let me just read this. This is at the end of the book, Revelation chapter 21. There's a lot, but this is just a snippet. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more, or chaos was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from before the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be crying or mourning or pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." And he who is seated on the throne said, "Behold, I'm making all things new." And he said to John, "Write this down, for this is trustworthy and true." And y'all, what he did on the cross and all that is for us today and all of the future grace that's coming allows us to stand secure, leaning our full weight against Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so can we sing it? My name is Shane. So great to be here. I'm one of many Shanes. And it's just fantastic to come be a part of this family, my family. So can we sing together? I'm fighting a battle you've already won. No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. Don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. And I'm fighting a battle you've already won. There's peace that outlasts darkness. There's hope that's in the blood. There's future grace that's mine today, that Jesus Christ has won. So I can face tomorrow, for tomorrow's in your hands. All I need you will provide, just like you always have. 'Cause I'm fighting a battle you've already won. my Savior.
You're my Savior, my defense.
No more fear.
No more fear in life or death.
All right, y'all, I know how the story ends.
I know how the story ends.
We will be with you.
We will be with you again.
You're the one who saves us, who defends us.
You're my Savior, my
defense. So I don't have to be afraid anymore.
No more fear in life or death.
Aren't you glad that Jesus has paid it all for you today? He's done the work. It's finished. Why don't you go ahead and be seated, Preston Wood. We're so glad you're here this morning. Shane and Shane, thank you for leading us today. Let's welcome our special guests and tell them how much we appreciate bringing us to the throne of worship today. That's why we've come to worship a risen Savior, and His name is Jesus. And if you're visiting with us for the very first time today at Preston Wood, especially you first-time guests, we want to say what a joy it is for us to be able to share in this Palm Sunday morning with you. The scripture says that Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, triumphantly entering, foreshadowing the finished work on the cross and the victory that He would accomplish for us that Easter morning when He rose again. And the people said, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And we join that chorus this morning as we lift high the name of Jesus. And we're preparing our hearts and our lives for Easter Sunday. Next weekend, it's going to be a powerful, powerful weekend, as is today, as we worship a risen Lord. So guests, we're so glad that you could be with us today. And for those of you joining us online, all over the world, we have people connecting with us week in and week out. We're so glad to be able to share this time of worship with you. Our pastor has a strong message out of the book of Joshua today. You're going to be encouraged. We're going to be challenged to grow and walk out in our faith. And, you know, guests, as we worship together, it's our joy to be able to say to you as well that as you spend time with us today, we hope that you'll do just one thing for us, and that is let us know that you were here. You can do that in a couple of ways. You can text the word CONNECT to the number 74788. That'll let us know that you're worshiping and visiting with us today. It'll also provide us with an opportunity to minister to you today and beyond as we look for ways to pray for you and to serve you in the days ahead. We don't want you to be a stranger here. We want you to feel like you're home as you come to worship with God's people today. And on the way out, if you would stop at Guest Central right out these doors and head by and see someone on our team there. We'd love to share with you a special gift from our pastor. It's a powerful book that he's written called The Essential Gospel. And I know as you receive that, you're going to grow in your faith as you read that and as you continue to worship with us. Well, it is going to be a wonderful day together. We're going to ask our men to come forward now to receive our offering for the morning. And as we go to the Lord in prayer, we go with an ever-deepening appreciation and an understanding for the grace of the Lord Jesus in our lives. So as we give, Preston, we thank you as always for your generosity over and above, week in and week out, and your tithes and your offerings. And we give it all back to Jesus because of what he has given to us. He's done it all for us. And so now we serve him with our worship, with our praise, with our giving. And Lord Jesus, that's our prayer this morning. As we have this time of offering, this act of worship and our giving, Lord, not only of that which you've blessed us with materially, we give it back to you as a way of obeying you, Father, of acknowledging your grace in our life. But Lord, now we give you our praise. Father, we lift high the name of Jesus. And Father, we just acknowledge on this Palm Sunday morning our desire to be prepared to rejoice in the work that you've done for us, to reflect on it, and to thank you for it, Jesus. May you inhabit our praises. God, be with our pastor as he comes to preach your word boldly, to proclaim it over our hearts and in our lives today. We love you, Jesus. And we say all this in your name. Amen.
It is done. It is finished. No more debt I owe. Paid in full. All sufficient. Merit now my
righteousness is mine. It is done. It
joy of my salvation shall be my final bread. When I stand accepted before the throne of God, I'll gaze upon my Jesus and thank Him for the cross. Oh, I'll thank You for the cross. It is done, it is finished. No more did I owe anymore. All sufficient, there is now my own. It is done, it is finished. No more did I owe anymore. All sufficient, there is now my own.
What time it is done?
Is anyone able to break the seal?
our church with everything you got. Is he worth it? Church family, is he worthy? He is.
Let's pray. Please join me in prayer now, Lord, because you are worthy. Our worship ascends to you, our adoration, our praise for you always. And on this day, may we sing and share from our hearts that you are King, that your love and your grace has captured our hearts, and now we live for you, for your glory, because you are worthy. Now, in the preaching and the teaching of your word, God, open our hearts that we would understand it and that we would live it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and please be seated. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Joshua, the 24th chapter. Over these past weeks, we have been in a series of messages called Forward, and it is a message series from the book of Joshua, and we have said that there is a promised life for every one of us. We are saved, but we are not only saved forever, but we are saved to live an abundant life here and now. So we come to the end of the book and the end of this series today, and the message is, decide today. Now, if you follow Jesus Christ, you want him to be the king of your heart. When Jesus came riding into the city of Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday, he was hailed as a king with hosannas. But the people, for the most part, were expecting an earthly king, a Messiah that would overturn the oppressors, the Romans, and lead a revolt for the Jewish people. But Jesus was not that kind of king. Jesus was a king of another kingdom and is the king of another kingdom, and that kingdom is within us, and that kingdom is even yet to come. And therefore, because Jesus is King, we want Christ to be crowned in our hearts, to live God-honoring lives today, tomorrow, and the rest of our days. Fact, the decisions we make, the choices that we make today determine the success of our lives, spiritually and otherwise. Experts tell us that we make 35,000 decisions every day. Now, that sounds far-fetched to me and maybe exaggerated. But when you think about it, from the moment we get up in the day and throughout our days, we're making multiple decisions every minute. Most of them small and inconsequential, we think, but they are decisions nevertheless. And if you think about it, the choices, the numbers do add up. Every single day, we're making all kinds of decisions. And then, of course, there's the decision that we make regarding the big things, like our future, our family, who we would choose to date, or who would be our mate, decisions and choices regarding our finances. And in a world in which there are so many options, think about all the different options that we have today and decisions that we make that previous generations did not face. So we make all kinds, in many ways, technology and the growth of society as we know it as complicated. And sometimes we can become overwhelmed by just making so many decisions. But decisions do and must be made. James Clear, the author of Atomic Habits, says that decisions we make, the decisions you make, is a vote toward who you will become. It's true. We make our decisions, and then our decisions make us. And when we make decisions, our decisions determine the directions in which we will go. And then our direction determines our destiny. Decisions. The title of this message is Decide Today, because today, from the last passage in Joshua, I'm going to ask you to make a decision that Joshua himself made so long ago and calls us to make today. This is all a part, chapters 23 and 24, of a farewell message that Joshua gives to first the leaders of Israel in chapter 23, and then all of the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, in chapter 24. We're told that Joshua, when he died, was 110 years of age. So by now, he's an old general. He was born in slavery. It's truly one of the great biographies in history. He was born in slavery in Egypt. He came out with the Israelites at the Passover, the Exodus out of Egypt, when God set his people free. And then through the Red Sea, he saw the hand of God with miracles as Moses led them. And then through the wilderness, it was 40 long, treacherous years in the wilderness, and an entire generation died in the wilderness. But Joshua persevered. Joshua kept believing God and trusting God, and ultimately, he became the successor to Moses and the leader of Israel that would actually take the children of Israel into the land of promise, the land flowing with milk and honey. So Joshua is a great man. Our Lord Jesus himself bears this man's name, Yeshua, Joshua, which means God saves. So Joshua led the children of Israel through the Jericho battle and on to many other battles that they fought, and now they're possessing the land just as God had promised them. In fact, before we read our scripture today, just get a taste of the first message that Joshua delivered in Joshua 23. There's a couple of verses I want you to note and maybe underscore in your Bible. It says, "For the Lord," this is verse 9 of chapter 23, "For the Lord has driven out before you great and strong nations. And as for you, no man has been able to stand before you to this day." And why is that? "One man of you puts to flight 1,000, since it is the Lord your God who fights for you just as he promised you." Know that in the Christian life, it is the Lord God who fights for us. Amen. And we've said many times in many ways, we don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. We sang of that, we know the story. Our victory is in Jesus. And therefore, he says in verse 11, "Be therefore careful to love the Lord your God." So he delivers this message to the leaders of Israel. And he goes on to say that "I am about to go the way of all the earth." Look at verse 14. "I'm about to go the way of all the earth. And you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed." How many of you can say all of the promises of God have come to pass in my life or will come to pass, because we know that God always keeps his promises? And that's what Joshua reminds us of today. He says, "Look, I'm dying." Interesting way to describe his death. "I'm going the way of all the earth." Everyone dies. In spite of great medicine and scientific advances and the extension of life, we all die. And now at 110 years of age, Joshua knows that his time has come. And because of that, it's time to say goodbye. And with his goodbye, he is challenging Israel and us to what? Go forward. And after preaching of the greatness of God and the goodness of God in their lives, he closes his message with an invitation in chapter 24. And here is our text. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in the land in which you dwell. And watch this. This is a text that some of you, many of you perhaps, have in your household, on your wall somewhere, marked in your Bible. It's one of the great verses in God's word. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Let's say that together. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Throughout Joshua's life, the one thing you can say about him among many is that he made good decisions, always to honor God and serve him and to believe him. He led Israel and he led them well. And now he, having left his legacy, this is his legacy. Remember, your legacy is not something you leave. Your legacy is what you live. It is the life that you live. And the legacy is what you leave behind when you've lived a life to honor God, like Joshua. And he lived his legacy and he passed his faith to his children. He determined to fear and follow the Lord. And now here at the end of his life, he's ready to go and leave this earth, having gone the way of all the earth, but then into eternity. And so he closes his story, General Joshua's journal, with this great call to commitment, to fear the Lord and to serve him, to honor him, to turn from the idols of this world and the false gods that are all around us, and to choose God and serve him. That's why I'm calling this message today, Choose Today. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. So what kind of decision are we going to make today? First of all, decide, I will fear the Lord. That's what verse 14 says. He calls us to fear the Lord. Now, to fear God is counterpart to faith in God. What faith is in the New Testament, fear, the fear of the Lord expresses our faith in the Lord, primarily referred to in the Old Testament, but it's a word to fear the Lord, which means to honor him, to love him, to be devoted to him, to reverence God. To fear God is to live in awe and wonder of who God is. And we are commanded again and again and again and again in God's word to fear the Lord. Let me give you examples, and I'll put them on the screen for you. Psalm 25, 14. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. Do you want to have a personal relationship with Christ? You want to know that God is your friend? Then fear him. Psalm 31, 19. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you. Do you want the goodness of God, the blessing of God upon your life? Then fear the Lord. Psalm 33, 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love. You want the blessing of God? You want the eye of God watching over you? The eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him. Psalm 115, verse 13. He will bless those, you want the blessing of God? who fear the Lord, both small and great. And then here's one last example, Psalm 147, verse 11. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him. Do you want to please God with your life? Then fear the Lord. The ones who fear the Lord honor him and serve him. Now, God is love. He loves you. And God is good. He does good. He is good. And he is a good, good father. And the devil wants us to think negatively about God, even when it comes to this whole idea of the fear of the Lord. But God is great, and God is good, and because of this, we honor him with our lives. Even his name, Jesus taught us, is to be hallowed. Hallowed be your name. Because we love and honor and respect him, we do this not as slaves, but as sons and daughters of God. We fear the Lord. And I believe what's missing in the world today and in this nation today, a nation that is in crisis, is a sincere fear of God. It used to be a compliment to say of a man, that's a God-fearing man, or of a woman, a God-fearing woman. But we don't hear it so much today because we have lost the sense of awe and wonder and the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Love him with reverential fear. That's what he says. So you have a decision to make. Will I live in the fear of God? Someone described the fear of the Lord as love on its knees. That we bow before the Lord in honor and adoration. Then secondly, I will live. Here's a decision to make. I will live a devoted life. I will faithfully serve and follow Jesus. He said, fear the Lord and serve him. Now, the word serve here is a word that doesn't just simply mean going around doing good deeds, which may be included in the idea of serving the Lord. But to serve the Lord means to worship him. Amen. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve. To serve him means that we give our lives to him and not the other gods of this world. He cautions them. He says, don't live for the gods of this world, the idols that were back there in Egypt and the idols of the Amorites. And you know, we have idols in our world today, idols of pleasure and idols of possession and idols of pleasure in this world. And so many people are going after the idols and living to worship and serve. And again, whatever you worship, whoever you worship, you will serve. So if you worship sin, you will serve sin. If you worship the idol of pleasure, you will serve the idol of pleasure, and so on. But when you serve God, when you worship God, then you will bow before him and surrender your life to him. I have three ideas that I believe express what we are to do when we are worshiping and serving the Lord like this. I will live a devoted, consecrated life. Is that a decision you are willing to make? I will live a consecrated, separated, dedicated life before the Lord. I will fear God and serve him. What does that mean? That I am to give myself completely and continually to Christ. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 12, 1 and 10, I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, that is completely and acceptable to him, who is your reasonable worship. And that word worship there in the New Testament can be translated service, your reasonable service. So there you see it again. Our worship is singing songs and worshiping him with our lips and sacrifices of praise. But it is beyond that. It is the giving of our lives to Christ. You know, when I came to Jesus as a small boy, I gave all that I was to him, all that I knew about me, to all that I knew about him. But through all the years, I've learned a lot more about me, and I've learned a lot more about Jesus. And so life, the decisions we make, mean that we will continually make choices and decisions that honor the Lord. It means, first of all, to surrender to the lordship of Christ. Surrender to the lordship of Christ. You cannot be saved. You cannot know God apart from giving your life to follow Jesus Christ. The Bible says if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. The Bible says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And to be saved, therefore, is to give your life unconditionally, unreservedly, completely to Christ. Surrender your life to the lordship of Jesus. Secondly, it means seek the lifestyle of Jesus. When I am serving the Lord in this way, I am seeking the lifestyle of Jesus. I want Jesus' life to be reproduced and reflected in me. That I will always be praying, Lord, make me more like you. And what is Jesus like? Well, Galatians 5 speaks of the fruit of the Spirit, which is a composite of the character of Christ in us. The fruit of the Spirit, the result of the work of Christ in us. And he said it is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. This is Christ in you. And therefore, when I am serving the Lord and living a devoted life, what does that look like? It's a surrender to the lordship of Christ, and it is a seeking of the lifestyle of Christ. I want to live like Jesus. That's who we are as Christians. And then it means sharing the love of Christ. To live a dedicated life means that I will share the love of Christ. And that includes with one another, the family of God. If you're a Christian, if you are a follower of Jesus, you have a family of faith. And because we have a family, we love God's church, God's people. We want to be together and grow together. And we serve one another and we share the love of Christ. The Apostle John would say in his little letter of 1 John, he said, if you don't love the brothers and sisters of Christ, then the love of God isn't in you. And so if you are a dedicated disciple and follower of Jesus, if you are serving the Lord as Joshua spoke about, then you will surrender to the lordship of Christ and you will seek the lifestyle of Christ and you will share the love of Christ, and not just with one another, but of course with the world, because God loves the world just like he loves you and me. And God has given us a calling, each one of us, to share the love of Jesus Christ and to show it by loving one another. By this shall all people know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. But there's a third thing in this call to commitment that Joshua gave and gives to us today, and that is, I choose today, I decide today to follow Christ. Now, I am motivated by Joshua's courageous commitment, his boldness, as he stands before an entire nation and declares his faith and makes this decision and calls us all to make the same choice. So what is this decision? When you look at it, again, look at verse 15. It says, if it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers on the other side of the river or the gods on this land of promise, the Amorites. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to say several things about the decision that we all must make. And remember, Your decision determines your direction, and your direction determines your destiny. Remember that you first make your decisions, and then your decisions make you. So, with that in mind, number one, it was a public decision. Joshua stood before all the people as their leader, but someone they had known for all these years, someone who is about to go the way of all the earth and into eternity. So, what's he going to say? What's the farewell address? What's the last message? He makes it public. And he was not persuaded by what others did or how others were going to choose. He said, look, if you're not going to serve God, then choose not to serve him and serve all these other gods. No matter what you do, however, no matter what the mob says, no matter what the crowd says, no matter what others do, all of us in our family will serve the Lord. Amen. I have made up my mind. There's a lot of pressure and public opinion in the world today. And if you decide to follow Jesus Christ, there will be persecution, resistance, hatred. Jesus said, if they hated me, don't you know they're going to hate you? And if you decide to go public with your faith, in front of your family, in front of your friends, in front of the world, then be ready for the resistance. But it doesn't matter. He said, look, it's sort of like what Elijah said to the people later on, the prophet Elijah. He said, look, he said, why do you keep halting or limping between multiple opinions, two opinions? He said, if Baal is God, then go ahead and serve Baal. Just give your life over to the demon God Baal. But if God be God, then serve him. It's the same thing. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Will you serve the world and all of its gods, or will you serve Christ? Will you give your life completely to him? It's a public decision. Here at Prestonwood, we call upon every person who walks in here to make a public decision to follow Jesus Christ. It's one of our core convictions that we should give people an opportunity to respond to the gospel of Christ. This is why we have a public invitation. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to come forward and make a public decision, a declaration of your faith, a profession of your faith, a confession of your faith in Jesus Christ. And online, you'll have an opportunity as well to go public with your faith. Our faith is deeply personal, but deeply private, but it is always public. It is always public. So it was a public decision. And then this decision is a personal decision. No one can make this decision for you. Not your parents, not your spouse, not your pastor, not your priest, not your rabbi. No one can make this decision to follow God by trusting in Christ but you. So when Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem, he rode in that donkey and was hailed as a king. He ultimately was betrayed and arrested and taken before the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. And Pilate asked the question that every one of us must answer to the howling mob, the same crowd that cheered him on the Palm Sunday road now jeers him. The same group that was saying crown him is about to crucify him. So Pilate, knowing he was innocent and not worthy of death, says, what will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? He had offered an alternative to the people. There was a criminal by the name of Barabbas. And he was a Jewish revolutionary, this Barabbas, and he was in prison, and Pilate knew because of insurrection and his rebellion, he deserved to die. And yet he thought, well, I'll give you one prisoner to release. And he thought, surely, that they would choose Jesus. But they said, no, give us Barabbas. We want Barabbas. And what then shall we do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? And they screamed, crucify him. They made a decision. And it's a decision that you must make for yourself. So let me ask you today, what will you do with Jesus? He is the inescapable Christ. You cannot ignore Jesus. You have to decide, who is he, and does he deserve my faith and my all? It was also a paternal, what I'm going to call a paternal decision, a public decision, a personal decision, but a paternal decision. And why do I call this a paternal decision? Because he said, as for me and my house, I love this. Would to God that every dad and mom would say this today. As for me and my house, my family, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Joshua was the patriarch of his family. And did you know that every father, can I just speak to the dads? We're about to launch a family series, marriage and family series, after Easter. We're calling it The Way Home. So we're going to focus on God's design for the family in coming days. It's a much needed message series. What does the Bible say about the family? And one thing the Bible teaches us about the family is that the husband and the father is the spiritual leader of the family, like Joshua. Men, we are to stand and boldly say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord's. Men, dads, do you know that you are the pastor of your family? Amen. So Joshua is speaking here for himself, but he's speaking for his wife and his kids and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren. He stood boldly and said, I'm speaking for every one of us in the Joshua clan. We will serve the Lord. And every parent should lead like this, to lead our families, to love, to fear, to serve the Lord. May God help us to do it. And then I want to say, finally, this is a positive decision. Because think about it. He is believing God in behalf of his family. He is trusting God with the future of his family, that the legacy of the Lord in his life would live in his family. He's believing God for his children and his children's children. And he's proclaiming that my household will serve the Lord. Now that is a positive statement. His commitment is clear. How can a man be so sure about his family? I can't guarantee that my children and my grandchildren and their children will live for the Lord. But what I can do is to make decisions today that will impact the future generations of our family. Hallelujah. And I can set up for our family an opportunity. Sadly, we all know people whose children and families reject Christ. It happens. We know that happens. But when we live for the Lord as husbands and wives, as mom and dad, as family, godly parents can provide an atmosphere in our homes where faith can flourish, and give our children an opportunity to know Christ, a home built upon Christ where children will joyfully choose themselves to follow Jesus. But here it is. Look, You can't be neutral about Jesus. On that last Palm Sunday when the crowds cheered and then they jeered, God used a man named Pilate, just like he used Joshua, to call them to a decision. When I think about this crowd on Palm Sunday, you know, many are willing to be a fan of Jesus, to be a part of the fandom, but not a part of the kingdom of Jesus. Willing to say, crown him, but when the going gets tough and the cross is before them, they said, crucify him. We have to choose where we stand with God, where we stand with Jesus Christ. And let me challenge you with these words today. Make your choice so clear. Make your choice so clear that no one will doubt where you stand with God.
Amen.
Choose you this day whom you will serve. Receive him or reject him. Believe him or deny him. But you must decide, because you say, well, I'll decide another day. No, to decide to not decide is to decide. Choose you this day. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. We are not promised another day to make this decision. Don't procrastinate it. Don't put it off. But say, today, I will serve the Lord. Some of you did not have the privilege of growing up in a Christian home with heritage of faith like I did and like many people. And you say, well, I just didn't have all that. I didn't have a legacy of faith. Well, you can begin one today for your family.
Right.
It begins in your heart today when you hear the call to commitment to choose this day whom you will serve. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Please, thank you. And I'm going to give you an opportunity now to make that decision, first in your heart and then publicly to follow Christ. If you want to put your faith and trust to choose Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, he said, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. So this is your decision that determines your direction in life, the rest of your days, and your direction determines your destiny and your family's destiny. So if you would trust Christ as your Savior today, if you would willingly repent of your sin, which means to turn from your sin and to trust in Jesus and Jesus only to be your Lord and Savior, then pray like this. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me, for coming to earth to die on the cross for my sins, to rise again. I believe. I believe in you, Jesus. And I trust you as my Lord and my Savior. Ask Christ to come into your life. And then pray, God, give me the courage and the conviction to confess you publicly. Even today, I will choose you in front of my family, in front of my friends, in front of all these perfect strangers that I don't know. I will confess you. I will stand out. The world behind me, the cross before me. Lord Jesus, I will follow you. Make that choice and then come forward. Come forward. And our ministers are going to be standing here at the front to receive you, to encourage you in your faith. And you can walk out of here knowing Christ in your life. You have made the decision, life's most important decision. There are others. You're a believer, you've never been baptized. That's a declaration of faith, baptism. So there are a number of you who will want to be baptized. And I'm going to ask that you come forward and say, I'm a Christian, I know I am. I've made that decision. But today I'm deciding to commit. I'm going all in and all under. I'm going to be baptized as a follower of Jesus. Would you make that decision? That decision could change the future and the destiny of you and your whole family, because when your children, when the Philippian jailer came to Christ, it says that he went home and Paul and Silas told his whole family and his entire household, his entire family became believers in Christ. Would you take that stand? And then there are others, you're a baptized believer, but you don't belong or you're not active in a church. And you believe God is leading you to make Prestonwood your church home. And I'm going to ask you to make that commitment today. In a day when so many people are just, you know, they're not emphasizing church. So many people are not in church today. Would you be the kind of Christian that would serve and honor and worship and reverence the Lord in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you do that today? Come forward and join Prestonwood and make this your church home with your family. Or if it's just you, come today. Lord, take now this time of decision, and by your Holy Spirit, move in every heart. For those online and those on site here today, may this be the day of decision and destiny for them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's stand together. Please, no one leave.